Our first reading for this morning is going to come from the book of Ephesians. We're going to start with the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, starting at verse 3 and read through verse 14. It is found on page 1066 of your pew Bibles. So let us listen to God's word for us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we who were the first to set our hope on Christ might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. Our Old Testament reading will come from the book of Amos. We're going to be reading from chapter 7 of Amos. Beginning at verse 7 of chapter 7 and reading through to verse 15. That is found on page 840 of your pew Bibles. And so again, let us listen to God's word for us. This is what the Lord showed me, says the prophet. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with the plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to hear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go. Flee away to the land of Judah, earn your bread there, and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore, hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not preach against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be parceled out by line. You yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land. The word of the Lord. Thank you, God. Amen. Gracious God, ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Christ, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. When I was in seminary, I used to say that I would preach often from the prophets. I always enjoyed the prophets, the major prophets like Isaiah and Jeremiah, and also what are called the minor prophets like Amos and Hosea. But I found that since being an ordained pastor that I have rarely preached from the books of the prophets. In part, that's because the lectionary doesn't have too many prophetic texts as part of the lectionary. But I confess that the prophets are often hard to preach from because many of their words are words of judgment. And we don't always like to hear words of judgment. Words of judgment are hardly popular. And Amos is not a very popular prophet. He wasn't a very popular prophet in his day, and he's not a very popular prophet in our day either. Amos was a prophet who lived about 800 years before the birth of Jesus. He wasn't a professional prophet, nor did he go to school to be a prophet. He wasn't a son of a prophet. That's what that means. He didn't go to school to be one. But he was called by God to go to the people of Israel and to prophesy to them. And when we think of a prophet, we usually think of people who peer into the future and predict the future. But the primary concern for prophets was not the future. They sometimes did predict the future, but the prophets were more concerned about the present than they were about the future. The prophets often talked and told and proclaimed the truth about the present so that the future could be different. And again, the problem with us human beings is that we don't always want to hear the truth. We prefer to do things our way. We prefer to do things the way that we want to have them done. We want to hear words that affirm us and bless us. But we are reminded this morning that God has standards. There's a way that God expects us to live. And if we don't measure up to those standards, then we have to face the judgment. That was part of the message of Amos. Amos had a series of visions that was given to him by God, all of them portending judgment against Israel. The first vision, he sees a plague of locusts about to descend upon the people of Israel right at the harvest time, eating up and destroying all the crops. It's a terrible disaster. But the prophet prays to the Lord, and the Lord relents. The Lord does not send the locusts. Then Amos sees a fire consuming the nation, and again he prays to the Lord on behalf of the people of Israel, and the Lord relents. The Lord does not send the fire. But in our text this morning, the prophet sees neither plague nor fire, but he sees something even more frightening and terrifying. He sees a vision of the Lord standing in the midst of the people holding a plumb line. If you don't know what a plumb line is, a plumb line was a measuring device that builders use to make sure that a wall is straight, or plumb, as they call it. Structurally speaking, there's nothing worse than a wall that is leaning one way or the other. There's nothing that you can do with it, a leaning wall. You can't build on it because it would be structurally unsound. The only thing you can do with it is to tear it down. But Amos sees the Lord standing over his people Israel with the plumb line. He is measuring his people Israel to see if they live up to his standards. And unfortunately, we are told that the people do not measure up. And so the Lord says, by way of the prophet, I will not pass them by anymore. I will not pass by bringing judgment and destruction upon my people, Israel. Now, these are frightening words from the Lord to his people. We often pray that the Lord will come near to us. We often pray that the Lord will not pass us by. But we need to be careful what we pray for, because the Lord has standards. There's a way that the Lord expects us to live. And if we don't measure up, we're like that leaning wall that you can't do anything with. The only thing that can be done is to tear it down. That's what Amos was called to proclaim to the people of Israel. They were waiting for the day of the Lord. Remember, they are God's people, and they were waiting for the day of the Lord. They were waiting for God to come and vindicate them before their enemies. But Amos tells them, why are you waiting for the day of the Lord? When the Lord's day comes, it will not be light to you, but it will be darkness, because you have not kept the commandments of God. You have not lived as his people, because the Lord has standards and there's a way that he wants us to live. Amos was not from Israel. He was from the southern kingdom of Judah. But he was called by God to go to the northern 10 tribes of Israel, not because there wasn't any prophets in Israel, not because they didn't have any religious authorities that could impart the word of God. They did. They had people like Amaziah that we read about this morning, the high priest in the temple of Bethel. And we should note that Amaziah was popular. The people liked him. Jeroboam, the king, liked him. Everybody liked him because he told them what they wanted to hear instead of telling them what God wanted the people to hear. And that's the way it is sometimes. Sometimes we want people to tell us what it is that we would like to hear. We want people to tell us how God wants to bless us and soothe us and console us, and to tell us that we still have time for everything to be all right. But in our text this morning, the prophet Amos is saying time is up. Time is up, because God is measuring his people and has found them wanting. And of course, Amaziah is not terribly pleased with this outsider who has come to prophesy against them. And so he tells Amos to go back home. We don't want to hear what you have to say. What you have to say is upsetting us. It's too upsetting, too disturbing. We don't want to hear it. It doesn't make us feel good. Go back home. But Amos tells Amaziah that because he has refused to hear the word of the Lord, that he and his whole family will suffer the judgment that will come upon the house of Israel. And that is exactly what happens. 700 years before the birth of Jesus, the Assyrians would sweep down from the north and totally obliterate the northern 10 tribes of Israel, never to be heard from again. This is not one of the most uplifting texts. Words of judgment hardly ever are uplifting, but they need to be heard because they are God's words of warning and correction for God's people. Perhaps you're saying to yourself, well, why was the Lord so angry? Why did the people not measure up? What did the people do or not do that made the Lord so angry? Well, the short answer is that they replaced God's standards with their own standards. That's easy to do when things are going well, and things were going well in Israel. The country was strong, the political leadership was stable, all the market indicators were were up, the stock market was up, the gross domestic product was up, everything was well. When Amos came to prophesy a word of the Lord, people refused to believe him because everything was going so well. Even the religious sector was well. People, the temple was well attended, everything was going fine. But it's in that kind of environment that the only standard that came to prevail was making a buck. Didn't matter how many people were hurt, didn't matter how many people were left behind, didn't matter how many people were cheated or exploited, the only standard there was, can this make money? The rich kept getting richer, the poor kept getting poorer, the poor kept being exploited, the powerful continued to pervert the system of justice, and nobody was listening. The kingly class was not listening, the priestly class wasn't listening, no one was listening. But God was listening. And so Amos says, hear this, you who trample on the needy and bring to ruin the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over so that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath so that we may offer wheat for sale? When will we be able to again make money off the poor and practice deceit with false balances, buying the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals? When will we be able to sell cheap wheat in the marketplace at bloated prices? I'll leave it to you to determine if any of that has any parallel in our own day and time. But we know we live in a nation where we too often forget about the most vulnerable people. We live in a nation where we too often stand by as the poor and the most vulnerable people are exploited. But the important thing to remember is that God has standards. There's a way that God wants us to live. And one of the ways that God measures how straight his people are is how they treat the most vulnerable people in their midst. It's not always a popular message, but prophets aren't called to be popular. They are called to be truthful. For Amos, the plumb line of God was nothing less than God's word. In chapter 8, Amos warns that there's going to be a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but a famine of God's word. People are going to be looking for the word of the Lord, but it's not going to be there because they had replaced it long ago in their hearts with other words. Words of greed, words of exploitation, words of indifference. And so there was going to be a famine of God's word in the land. It would be a pathetic exercise as people dashed to and fro trying to find some meaning for their lives, something to guide them and sustain them and to nurture them, something beyond their own base appetites and urges, but unfortunately finding nothing. Not even being able to find God's words of life in the midst of a difficult time that was about to befall the people. The word of God, of course, is still relevant for us today. Not just the word written, but more importantly, the word enfleshed, the word that was lived and breathed among us. That's God's plumb line for us today. Someone was saying not long ago, and I agree with him, he was saying that for us 21st century Americans, the standard of measurement that has replaced everything else is our freedom. We champion freedom. We've come to believe that everything that we have belongs to us. We believe that our wealth belongs to us. Our resources belong to us. Our time belongs to us. Everything belongs to us. Our children belong to us. We even believe that our bodies belong to us. And because they belong to us, we can do with them whatever we will. We can do with our wealth whatever we will. We can do with our resources whatever we will. We can do with our bodies whatever we will. No one has the right to tell us what we can do with our bodies because we have the freedom to do whatever we want. No one can tell us what to do. They all belong to us. But we'll see how far that gets us. The Bible reminds us that nothing belongs to us, that everything we have belongs to God. Our wealth belongs to God. Our resources belong to God. Our bodies belong to God, too. Even our bodies belong to God. And so we are called to remember this morning that God has standards. There's a way that God has called us to live. And this thing is for sure. If we don't measure up as individuals or as a nation, if we don't measure up to what God has called us to be, God will not pass us by. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that you are the Lord, the sovereign Lord of the whole world, the whole cosmos. We know that you have given us your word, that you have shown us how to live. You've shown us what is right. What you require from us is that we act justly with one another, that we love one another, that we look out for one another, that we have a place in our hearts, especially for the most vulnerable. Help us, Lord, to live in accordance with your word, especially in a society where we tend to forget, where we give ourselves to other words, words of our own making. Help us to remember that you are calling us to be a different kind of people. You have standards that you have called us to live a certain kind of way. You have called us to live in the way of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We ask that through the power of your Holy Spirit that you help us to live in that way so that we might measure up to all that you have called us to be. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.